Let us open our Bibles to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10. We'll begin reading at verse 11, last Lord's Day in connection with our Belgic Confession of Faith series. We read also this chapter, at least the opening part of it, and now we pick it up at verse 11 to verse 25, where the Apostle is showing the excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ as the priest who has come to take away sin and to whom we may draw near. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Our text is Hebrews 4. So we turn back a few pages to Hebrews 4, verse 16, which we hope to come to in the sermon as one of the applications drawn from this article on the mediator and intercessory high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And let us take that together with Article 26 of our Belgic Confession of Faith, which you can find on page 17 in the back of your Psalter. Page 17 in the back of your Psalter. We believe that we have no access unto God. Imagine if the sentence stopped there. It doesn't. Thanks be to God. But we believe that we have no access unto God, but alone through the only mediator and advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who therefore became man, having united in one person the divine and human natures, that we men might have access to the divine majesty, which access would otherwise be barred against us. But this mediator, whom the Father hath appointed between him and us, ought in no wise affright us by his majesty, or cause us to seek another according to our fancy. For there is no creature either in heaven or on earth who loveth us more than Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, yet made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a man and of a servant for us, and was made like unto his brethren in all things, If then we should seek for another mediator who would be well affected toward us, whom could we find who loved us more than he who laid down his life for us even when we were his enemies? And if we seek for one who hath power and majesty, who is there that hath so much of both as he who sits at the right hand of his Father and who hath all power in heaven and on earth? And who will sooner be heard than the well-beloved Son of God? Therefore, it was only through distrust that this practice of dishonoring instead of honoring the saints was introduced, doing that which they never have done nor required, but have, on the contrary, steadfastly rejected according to their bounden duty as appears by their writings. Neither must we plead here our unworthiness, for the meaning is not that we should offer our prayers to God on account of our own worthiness, but only on account of the excellency and worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose righteousness has become ours by faith. Therefore the apostle, to remove this foolish fear, or rather distrust from us, justly saith that Jesus Christ was made like unto his brethren in all things, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And further to encourage us, he adds, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The same apostle saith, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, etc. Likewise, Christ hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What more can be required, since Christ himself saith, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. To what purpose should we then seek another advocate, since it hath pleased God to give us his own Son as our advocate? Let us not forsake him to another, or rather, to seek after another, without ever being able to find him. For God well knew, when he gave him to us, that we were sinners. Therefore, according to the command of Christ, we call upon the Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, our only mediator, as we are taught in the Lord's Prayer, being assured that whatever we ask of the Father in his name will be granted us thus far. Dear congregation, in this service we hope to hear of Christ, the mediator between God and man. Christ, the mediator and intercessor. Now, what is a mediator, boys and girls? A mediator is a go-between. Two people may have an argument, be at odds with each other. Children, imagine you're fighting with your brother or sister and mom steps in between you two and she tries to deal with the problem that has caused the fight and she seeks to bring you back together in love and she wants to teach you and guide you in harmony. Or imagine a boy who wants his dad to do something for him. Maybe he wants to go with his dad to the store or maybe something else. But he knows his father is busy and he's preoccupied. So the boy goes to his mother and says, Mom, will you ask dad for me? And so he has gone to the one closest to dad and asks mom if she will intercede for him. And that's really what Article 26 is about, except it's not dealing with that on a horizontal level, but on a vertical plane. We're not speaking about being restored with a sibling, though that's also something which the Lord gives by grace. But it's about seeking the favor of the Heavenly Father. Not talking about just gifts that we may receive from an earthly father or privileges that we may ask for from an earthly father, but the favor of the Heavenly Father. And that's through Christ alone. And that's what we hope to listen to. Christ the mediator and intercessor is our theme. Christ the mediator and intercessor. We'll see first of all the condition that requires him. Secondly, the revelation that shows him. And thirdly, the invitation to come to him. Christ, the mediator and intercessor, the condition that requires him, the revelation that shows him, and thirdly, the invitation to come to him. When we come, dear congregation, to Article 26 of our Belgic Confession of Faith, we do come to a very long article. If I'm not mistaken, it's the second longest article in the Belgic Confession of Faith. The longest article is Article 35, dealing with the Lord's Supper. But this one is also very long, and if you ask why, then there's historical reason for it. That is because as people came out of the Romish church, they had been taught that they could not just go to Jesus. That they had been taught, boys and girls, to go to the saints to get to Jesus. To go to the Virgin Mary in order to get to Jesus. And those saints or Mary would act as their go-between. And the church of the Reformation had to correct this error of the Romish church. And so there's a historical reason behind this article, but there is also this pastoral tone in this article. Guido de Brad, desiring to instruct the people, he wants to correct the people lovingly and gently. There's this warmth, I don't know if you felt it as I was trying to read it, there's this warmth to this article, this pastoral concern that's woven throughout this article. And I hope and pray that that warmth and pastoral concern may be evident in this sermon also. To seek to direct you and me to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a gospel sermon we have here. It's a gospel article. And it's to Christ that we are directed. But then the first thing that we need to stand still at is at the condition that requires this mediator. This condition that requires this mediator. Article 26 begins, "We believe that we have no access unto God, but alone through the only mediator and advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, who therefore became man, having united in one person the divine and human natures, that we men might have access to the divine majesty, which access would otherwise be barred against us." So three times in that opening sentence, it speaks of access. Access to God. But only through Christ and outside of Christ, there is no access to God. We aren't accepted by God. He won't hear us. Access would be denied. Maybe you've had that before. You've been denied access to certain places. At a hospital maybe, or at an airport. You know there are doors that you and I are not allowed to go through. The public cannot get through those doors. Access is denied only if you have an electronic door badge card which gives you access through that door, may you enter. And that's how it is. We don't have access to God in and of ourselves ever since the fall into sin. I mean, before the fall into sin, it was different. There, nothing stood in the way. Man walked with God in the cool of the day. There was sweet communion enjoyed. Nothing was in the way. But that changed when we fell into sin. Sin has brought separation now. Sin has meant that we must go out of the garden now, out of the presence of God now. Sin means that there are cherubim placed in the way that are denying access with the flaming sword at the entrance of the garden that says, "Keep out." And that was also what was embroidered on the curtains in the tabernacle and the temple. These angels embroidered on it with cherubims reminding the people, "Keep out. Stay back." The way into God's presence is closed. It's blocked because of sin. Your sin. My sin. And I wonder if you've ever felt that before. That the way to God is closed because of your sin. As Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Matthew Henry is right when he says that sin is like this separating wall, this partition wall that separates us from God so that we are without God and without hope in the world, estranged from Him. Ever felt that, young people? You've been taught of God your whole life. And yet, you feel this distance to God. The separation to God. Yes, have you felt this by the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit that you've come to miss Him? That you've come to miss communion with Him? That you've come to miss His fellowship? And there are times that you feel it maybe, and I don't think that God even hears my prayers and listens to me. And I feel so far from Him. And sometimes you can be in great affliction and you say, "I don't even feel like I can get near to Him." Have you ever felt that? That you've asked, "Is there yet a way to be restored to His favor? Is there yet a way to come into His presence? Is there yet a way to know His communion?" Yes, there is. The Lord tells us that, boys and girls. There is a way back to God, and that's through Christ. Yes, we're not only told of the condition that requires Him, but secondly, the revelation that shows Him. The revelation that shows Him. The Bible tells us this, that there is a way back into the presence of God, but then only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Scriptures reveal Him. And they reveal Him in the Old Testament. They reveal Him in the book of Genesis. They show us how sinners can have communion with Him, how Abraham could, how Isaac could, how Jacob could, how His people in the Psalms could. Through Christ, who was promised to come and who did come in the fullness of time and who went to the cross and who took the sword of that angel, you might say, that blocked the access to God, and He was pierced so that the way is opened. Do you see? That's our question. Yes, it's the instruction of the Word of God. It's to Christ we must go. It's through Him that we have access to the Father. But we can have our questions. Will He receive me? Will He welcome me? That's a real question, young people. Will He receive me? And am I not unworthy? Am I not unworthy because of my sins? And is He not Christ? Is He not full of majesty and glory? Real questions that can produce real struggles. And with those questions, we can draw the wrong conclusions. I mean, we might draw the conclusion that we can't go to this mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it was in the days before the Reformation. That was what Guido de Bray had to deal with as a pastor. The Romish church that said, no, you can't go to the Lord Jesus directly. He really is inaccessible to you and me. The door is closed to him for people like us, but you can go through Mary to him, and you can go through the saints to him. And if you pray to Mary and to the saints, you'll be welcomed by them, and you'll be helped by these saints, and they'll support you, and they'll bring you to Jesus. That came out in their teachings. That came out in even in their paintings. Christ was one who pushed sinners away. But the saints and Mary, the paintings portray, they would receive you and they would bring you to Christ. That's what they said. If you're in a bind, you're stuck, then pray to the saints. Pray to Mary. Don't pray to Jesus. He's too high. He's too majestic, and we're too corrupt, and we're too sinful to approach him. But that's the wrong conclusion. That's not the conclusion the Bible gives us. That's not the conclusion the scriptures draw. And I mean, praying to saints is something that the saints, I mean, the true saints have rejected themselves. I mean, when Peter came to the house of Cornelius, we read that Cornelius met him, fell down at Peter's feet and worshipped him, but Peter stopped him. He took him up saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. Or when Paul and Barnabas are in Lystra, the people are amazed there at the healing of the crippled man who had never walked. Then the people of Lystra sought to offer sacrifices and bring it to Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas tore their clothes and ran among the people crying out, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God. God's holiest people have refused prayers and worship. To get to God, we must go to Christ. He's the way back to the Father. Ephesians 2 verse 18 says, for through him we have access unto the Father. Hebrews 10 verse 20, as we read in our scripture reading, it says that Christ is the new and living way into the holiest. And that's what we need to hear in a world that is without God. Christ is the way back to the Father. That's the message of the Scriptures. And why would we turn anywhere else than to Him? He's the mediator. He's the only mediator. And He's a suitable mediator for sinners like you and me. And Guido de Bray gives at least three reasons why the Lord Jesus is a suitable mediator. Three reasons why the Lord Jesus is a suitable mediator. First of all, because no one is more loving than Him. No one is more loving than Him. This is what He writes. This mediator whom the Father hath appointed between Him and us ought in no wise affright us by His majesty or cause us to seek another according to our fancy. For there is no creature either in heaven or on earth who loveth us more than Jesus Christ. No one is more loving than Christ. Many of us have had parents who loved us greatly. And many of us have had spouses that loved us deeply. But nothing can compare to the love of Christ. The love of Christ for sinners, poor sinners. It's a great love. It's a great love. Paul says in Ephesians 3 verse 19, there's the width, the length, the depth, the height. Paul says, no, I don't comprehend it. I'm praying that you'll be able to understand something of it, to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge. It's deep, it's high, it's wide, it's long. It's great. There is no one more loving than Him. It's a great love. And if you love me, prove it. We say that sometimes. We expect that in our relationships, that if you love me, you'll show it. And love is tested, isn't it? Your love as a husband and for a wife is tested. How far will you love your wife? How deep will it go? And the wife's love is tested for her husband. How far will she love him? Will she love? And will he love? Self-sacrificingly. What did Christ give? How far did Christ go? Friends, he gave his life. He gave his life. He laid it down. It's a sacrificing love. John 15 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he didn't just lay it down for his friends, but for enemies. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 8 verse 8. It's a sacrificial love. There's no one who loves more than Christ. And it's a love that doesn't fail. John 13 verse 1, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I mean, our love fails. Our love grows lukewarm and cold. That the coldness of our hearts can't stop him from loving his needy people till the end. And he loves still in the face of sin. Even when Peter will deny Jesus three times, that won't stop him from going to the cross and loving Peter. And Paul will say, he loved me and gave himself for me. No one is more loving than him. As the 19th century hymn puts it, what wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul. Have you not found that so? You who've needed that love. And isn't there someone here this morning who needs this love? This love of Christ? No one is more loving than Him. Secondly, no one is more mighty than Him. No one is more mighty than him. It's what Guido de Bres says when he writes, and if we seek for one who hath power and majesty, who is there that hath so much of both as he who sits at the right hand of his Father and who hath all power in heaven and on earth? That's Christ. He's not only loving, he's mighty. He has all power in heaven and on earth. I mean, rulers can have a lot of power. If you're the Prime Minister of Canada, you have power. If you're the President of the United States, you have more power. But nothing can compare to the power given to Christ. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. He has power in heaven. I mean, not one bird falls to the ground apart from his will. He controls the rain, the snow, the sun, the storms, the hurricanes. He has power over it all, the shooting stars. And he holds our breath in his hands. We can't move without his will. And he has power on earth to heal the sick, power on earth to still the storms. He has power on earth to raise the dead. He has power on earth to forgive sins. He has power to avert all evil or to turn it to our profit. He can shake the prison at Philippi and make a hardened sinner ask, what must I do to be saved? He can humble the proud, When we turn to Him, we turn to a mighty Lord and Savior who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. That's encouraging, isn't it? That He's mighty, almighty. We have so many impossibilities from our side. We can feel stuck in sin. We can feel so powerless in the face of trials. But when we cry to Him, when we're in trouble, when we're battling sin, when we're seeking to lead our families as husbands and mothers and fathers, when we're overwhelmed with cares and sorrows, with fear and grief, there's one mighty to help, mighty to sustain, mighty to comfort, able to save unto the uttermost. No one more mighty than Him. There's no one more loving than Him. No one more mighty than Him. Thirdly, there's no one better than Him. No one better than Him. Guido de Bray asks, and who will sooner be heard than the own well-beloved Son of God? There's no better mediator than Him. Having a human nature and a divine nature. A human nature that means He knows our weakness, He knows our temptations, He knows our struggles. Who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's a sympathizing high priest. And He can sympathize because He has a human nature. And at the same time, He has a divine nature, which means He knows how to deliver His distressed people. This is our mediator, who is in one person both very God and true man. And as the daysman, as Job calls Him, He can bring us to God and lay hands upon us both. There's no one better than Him, not only because of who He is, but where He is. I mean, He's closer to the Father than anyone else. And His Father will hear Him. That's what Jesus could say when He stood by the grave of Lazarus and lifted His eyes to heaven and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me, and I knew that Thou hearest Me always. There's no one more loving than Him. No one more mighty than Him. No one better than Him. No one who is more gracious. No one who's more merciful. No one who's more sympathetic. No one who is more able and willing to save us and to help us and be gracious. That's what the Bible reveals. Have you been reading your Bible? And have you found that to be so? The revelation that shows Him to be like this. And has that also wooed you and drawn you? For there's an invitation that comes to us. That's our third point. The invitation to come to Him. The invitation to come to Him. That's how Guido de Bray works out the application, really. And it's all to urge us to come to Christ. Hebrews 10, let us draw near to Him. You know what that is, right? Boys and girls, drawing near. There's a distance between you and your mom, but you go and see your mom. And you come close to her. Draw near to Him. Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us come boldly to Him. For mercy and grace and help in time of need. There are rich truths here. And truths are not just about learning, but for living. It's not just about repeating some truths, but applying the truth. There's not only revelation in Scripture that we can just say, well, there we've got some more information for our heads. No, it's meant to reach our hearts and bring us to His feet. There's invitations in Scripture. And have you responded to those invitations? Let's listen to one of them. And let's listen with that prayer, Lord, do what Thou dost call here. Let us, could it be by God's help, go to our homes and even here in this place, say it. Well, let's go then to Him. Let's respond then to Him. Let's seek grace to do that. Let us come boldly. There's an invitation for you. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. After all, He has mercy to give, grace to give, help to give in time of need. He has a listening ear. There are some people who don't listen to us. There are some people that don't listen to us. But He always listens. There's some people that always interrupt us. There's some people that always know better than we do. There's some people that tune us out. But Jesus won't. He listened to the Emmaus travelers as they were walking that distance from Jerusalem, and He didn't interrupt them. He let them pour out their hearts. They were cast down, and He listened. He's still the same today. You see why we must go to Him? Have you never been burdened by the sins of your life and by your guilt? He'll listen. And He has pardon to give. He has power on earth to forgive sins. His blood cleanseth from all sin. Take your sins to Him. Take your guilt to Him. He takes them away. And He has faith to give. When you struggle with unbelief and you waver between fear and faith, between trust and doubt, He has faith to give. You can go to Him as that father of the demon-possessed boy saying, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. You can go to Him and say, grant faith unto my soul. Grant life. And He knows how to help you in your temptations and struggles. Some of you are struggling with temptations. This past week again, you fell back into those old ruts. He knows the evil lusts of your flesh. He knows how you struggle with sin. He can, with the temptation, also make a way to escape. But then we need to turn to Him. Jude says, unto Him that is able to keep us from falling. He's able to keep us from falling, but let's go to Him. He has strength to give, provisions to give, all that you need. He can supply. Therefore, let us come to Him. And you may. Whoever you are, you may. Did you hear the apostle in Hebrews 4 verse 16 say, let us come. He doesn't say, you struggling Christians there, you are in danger of falling back. That was their danger. They were going back to the shadows. And He says, well, you're weak and flailing Christians, I'll go for you. I'll go by myself. I mean, in the Old Testament, there was only one person in the camp of Israel that was allowed access into the Holy of Holies, could come to the mercy seat. Only the high priest, and that once a year. But here the apostle says, let us come. And if I can say it, let us all come. He doesn't say you've not done this so well and you failed here and those trials that you faced, you really faltered. Better not come. He doesn't say and you're so backslidden, better wait till you're better. No, if you wait till you're better, you'll never come at all. That's why He says, let us come. And He doesn't exclude anyone. And isn't that encouraging when you feel that you failed so many times, young people? And adults, and isn't that encouraging that you may come with confidence and with expectation for you're allowed in? I know most of us will never be allowed into the Oval Office of the President. Most of us won't be welcomed at the Buckingham Palace in England. But the door to Christ is open, wide open. And the high priest, in the Old Testament, he was allowed to walk in the veil and enter into the holy place. There were these veils that kept everyone else out. But the veil has been torn in two through Christ's death on the cross, and we may come, and every needy soul may come and is welcome. I know Esther the queen. Remember her, boys and girls, how difficult it was for her to get to King Ahasuerus. I mean, you just didn't go into the presence of the king without being invited, not even if you were queen. And Esther hadn't been invited for a month. Maybe the king has turned against her. Maybe she's fallen out of the favor of the king. Esther was terrified. She knew what had happened to Vashti. But she resolved to go. Tremblingly, if I perish, I perish. There was so much terror for her. But that is not needed when you come to Christ. We should come with a due sense of our need and a due sense of His Majesty, but we don't need separate permission. After all, He says, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. No one who has come has ever been denied access. No one who has come has ever been refused. No one who has come has ever been cast out for coming. He receives prodigals back. And you may feel you don't know what to say, and you might feel all confused, and you might stammer, and you feel ashamed of your poor and feeble prayers, but He won't send you away. But Pastor, are we not unworthy? Yes, we are. Because of sin, unworthy. Even for one sin, we're unworthy. But if we had to wait till we're worthy, we would never come. We come to Christ as unworthy sinners, pleading not our worthiness. We don't have any. We'll never have any. We have only one plea, and that's the worthiness and righteousness of Christ alone. And those who plead Christ's worthiness and righteousness will be turned away. Let us therefore come to Him. And keep coming to Him. Our text says, let us come. It's in the present tense. It doesn't say, let us come once. Well, that would be a great privilege. But having come once, we may come again. It doesn't say that we can only come in the morning. You better not bother Him at night. Or you can just come once a week. Or once a year as the high priest in the Old Testament. No, you can come any time. Boys and girls, you can come any time to Jesus. He neither slumbers nor sleeps, and His ears are not heavy that He will not hear, and He has grace to give for all of our needs. You had needs yesterday. He has grace to help with those needs of yesterday. He has grace to help with your needs of today. The soul needs, the physical needs. He has help to give also for tomorrow. And you don't have to go far. Young people, you don't have to go far. There where you are is a throne of grace. He's not far from every one of us. We don't have to climb a mountain to get to Him. We don't have to travel to the land of Israel to get to Him. There where you are is a throne of grace. At home, at work, wherever you may be. In the day of grace, where you are is a throne of grace. Someone says, but I wish I could pray better, and I wish I had deeper repentance, and I wish I would grow in holiness first. Then I'll come. Then you'd want to come to a throne of works. There is no such throne. And you won't learn to pray better first. And you won't reach a level of holiness first and a certain depth of repentance. Then you'll never come at all. He doesn't say, don't come yet. Wait till you're older. Oh. No, he says, come now. Let not conscience make you linger, nor a fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. He can draw you. He can bring you where you can't bring yourself. He has grace to give. He has his spirit to give. And it's because he went to the cross and his need was so great and his hands were stretched out and it cost him his life and there was no grace for him and there was no mercy for him so that he may give it to you and me. Let us come and not stop coming to Christ and to the cross and to the throne of grace. But friends, if we don't come in the day of grace, what can you expect if you don't come? If you never come, if you pushed Jesus away, if you said, not now, if you said, depart from me, that would be dreadful. If you reject him, he'll reject you. It'd be dreadful to be cast off by him who is the most loving, the most mighty, and no one better than him. It'd be dreadful to be rejected and forsaken by him, but why would you do that? When he who was forsaken says, come and welcome to Jesus Christ. I have help to give in every need. Pour out your heart to me. Amen. Let us give thanks and pray. O most good-doing and gracious Lord, we have heard of the way of access being opened through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would come in response to that invitation in prayer to thee, to the throne of grace for mercy and grace and help in time of need. Lord, have mercy. Bind up the brokenhearted. Feed the hungry. Draw the wounded. Grant balm to the afflicted. And have dealings with us also this day. Teach us, Lord, to come, believingly, tremblingly maybe, to him who is so merciful. There's no one who loves more than him. To him who is mighty, there's no one more mighty than him. Grant the children to come, the young people too, and draw us, could it be all? And our joy will be great, and thou wouldst be glorified. Forgive our sins, Lord, in preaching and in listening. Give us a good and blessed day. Grant that we may make use of the throne of grace also today. And bless us when we come here this afternoon too, when we may have the privilege of having water in church. And one of the children of the congregation being baptized. Lord, grant also that we may heed thy word, that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but draw us with cords of love to thyself. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.